Hi and welcome to Legends, an action movie podcast. Here we discuss action movies, cult, classic, new, old, original, sequels, reboot, remake and more, for better or worst.
Legends, an action movie podcast is presented to you by Legends Action Figures. Please visit legendsactionfigures.com, your friendly online source for toy and collectibles.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
These discussions will be spoiler-filled. Ellen will use an explicit language, so consider yourselves warned. Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hi, and welcome to Legend, an action movie podcast. I'm your host, John D, and today I'm joined by Frank.
Hi guys, this is Frank.
And today we will discuss Predators, starring Adrian Brody, Topher Grace, Alice Braga, Walton Goggins, Oleg Taklakov, and Lawrence Fishburne. Movies directed by Nimrod Antal and produced by Robert Rodriguez. So, before we start, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Lovely summertime.
Oh, lovely summertime. Summertime.
I know you just got back from Comic-Con, so you should be pretty great as well.
Yeah, it was not too bad. A little bit tired, but Comic-Con was kind of great at some moment and kind of big lineups at the rest of the time. But a guy who had the great shirt while I was there was like, I'm not a geek. I just like to stand in line.
Well, I guess the thing with Comic-Con is the problem with most things. It's people, right?
Here you go. Lots and lots of people. They say this year that there's 140,000 people that cross the floor of the Comic-Con.
That's more than the town I was born in.
Yeah,
I guess you could say that as well.
Yeah, I can say that. There was like 5,000 people in my town. So
yeah, we're small town guys.
Eh, what do you want? Trying to go to the big city and finding there's too many people. But we still live in the big town now, so it's not too bad. So, yeah, I saw a lot of Predator costume this year.
Oh, yeah? They were any good?
Really good. I would say people went for the original Predator. They did not go for a new version that we're going to talk a little bit later.
Yeah, it's like Coca-Cola. You always go for a classic.
Classic is always the best. Coca-Cola, classic. And yeah, but not that much cosplay this year. I thought it would be like way more than that. And I would say maybe like 3% of the people were disguised.
Well, I saw a bit of it online, actually, just watching for news and stuff. But didn't seem to be that much that year, so meh.
Yeah, but I understand at some point because there's so many people who are trying to go through the aisle and everything that your costume's gonna get trash if you have something that's not imposing. There was that guy as a Master Chief. People let him go. And yeah. The more zombie-like you look, people don't want to touch you because they're afraid that you're red fake.
You're
blood.
Gross and sticky with blood or something.
There you go. So, no, that was okay. There was a couple of pictures. Not sure I'm going to post them, though.
A couple of cuties worth of a picture.
Yeah, a little bit. I got a picture with a girl whose costume is Stephanie Brown, the only Robin girl for three comics, just beside like a girl who has the Huntress new suits.
I don't remember. It was like Quizzler or Puzzler.
She was Spoiler?
Spoiler, yeah.
The daughter of the Puzzler.
Yeah, something like that. And she was Robin for like a few weeks. And then she was killed because someone else had to be Robin. And they brought her back, I think, because people were bitching about women in the refrigerator or something like that, I think.
No, woman in refrigerator, that's Green Lantern, man.
Yeah, but they took that... that phrase, and they basically use it for every time that a woman gets abused in comic book right now.
Yeah,
it's become standard words.
Yeah, standard shit for comic book. Have you read that Green Lantern? Do you read Green Lantern?
Oh, no. I don't. I've tried, but it's pretty boring, actually, I think.
It's special. There's
they ride in the short bus.
They're riding the short, yeah, a bit. But
they get the special plastic ring and they ride in the short bus.
I got the Black Lantern ring at the Comic-Con.
Oh yeah, and did you master it with your hate?
I mastered
your zombie power.
Yeah. No, it was more like a bit of plastic that the trash mastered really fast. Yeah, they had that and a flash ring, which, you know, you're in line, you want just to get like your buttons to. That's the cool thing, and they just put them in your bag. So.
Meh.
Free swag, man.
Of course, I guess.
Yeah, free crap. Always cool. No, the big thing was the Avenger panel, which was kind of great to see all the actors at the same place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going back on Green Lantern, I know that Ryan Reynolds spoke it the oath as well.
Oh, yeah, and people went crazy.
A lot of people were having the hard-ons about that.
Yeah.
I got to say, he does look a bit like Hal Jordan in a bunch. He's got the superhero look. But,
oh, yeah, definitely got this superhero
look. We'll be seeing him in every action movie right now.
Yeah, but the guy has a good comic book record, I would say. He played Blade. I don't want to say these movies are good. I just say he did a lot.
Yeah, he did. He did a few, but I wouldn't say Deadpool was any good. Yeah. It was atrocious.
Well, yeah, okay. They really missed
I guess it wasn't his fault. He couldn't speak or anything, but...
But he could speak at the start of the movie.
Yeah.
Was he actually playing the Beast at the end or the weird like number? I don't remember what experiment. I only saw the movie once.
Yeah, me as well. I played the game as well. I think you did too. They elaborate a bit on that, but... you know, he was in Weapon X and they tried to win to go that way, but they just messed him up. And I heard this rumor around that in the Deadpool movie, they are going to actually ridicule that in breaking the fourth wall with Deadpool, saying how much it sucked and it wasn't like him. And I guess if they do that, that's pretty cool.
I'm afraid he's going to lose the role, though, if he's starting to play like big characters like Green Lantern and everything.
But I think at that point you need a complete reboot and you can definitely choose another actor. And I mean, if you go with true to the story, I mean, it won't matter the guy you get that much because his face will basically be bacon.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, they did a great job with Spawn.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got to look like that if you're legit to the comic.
Yeah, but that would be a great, I think, great movie, but let's see if there's a studio who want to put money on that kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something to pull, you know, to make it true to its comic book roots and to make it work. It's going to be something, and I'm not quite sure people will be prepared for what the movie might be.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is not the standard comic book movie that you're used to. It's more like a jokey action comic.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it going 3D, and you know, like you'd get Deadpool in your face and he's talking to you, breaking the fourth wall. That could be cool, but
cool use of 3D for once.
it would bring on the cheese, but it would be pretty cool. Anyways,
speaking of superhero in 3D, Marvel just got a statement out that they would put Captain America and Thor in 3D, and the big statement was like, it's going to be post-production, but we have the time to make it right. Okay, you have 5 months instead of three. That's not going to be any better than Clash of the Titans 3D, I think. But
well, I mean, everyone's going on about 3D, and I mean, I'm not very... I don't like that stuff that much. I mean, to me, it kind of deters from the old experience. I mean... You just don't see stuff that way in real life. And I mean, it basically looks, you know, fake compared to a 2D movie, I think. I mean, it's very hard to pull off. And I guess it could work in animated war movies, you know, stuff like Pixar or whatever. And I mean, that could be to great use. But I mean, Avatar did a great job, but it didn't add that much to the movie, if you ask me. And I mean, for all it costs and all the work you have to put into it, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think I'll pay the extra bucks anymore to go see in movies in 3D.
No, I mean, either $18 for a movie is a ripoff, I think. So I'll give them my $12.50 to go a movie, which is already a lot since you now can buy a DVD for $5. But anyway, they won't get my buck on the 3D on that one.
No.
The next movie I could maybe see in 3D would be Tron, because let's face it, that movie has the same treatment as Avatar. At some point, everything is custom made in computer. Yeah. But Then again, I heard someone, a friend of mine who's on another podcast, I'm not going to say his name here, but even he was saying he loved Avatar. He's a big fan. It was like, oh, they're putting it bad in theater. I might go see it again, but I'll go in 2D because I prefer the colors. So here you go.
Yeah, it's not a perfect technology, and I mean, they're pushing it so much right now.
It's like we're back at the start of the 80s where you had like Jason 3D and all that crap.
It just feels kind of cheap. I'm not all that much into it, and I don't think it'll work with TVs as much as they think it'll do. But yeah, I mean,
I tested the 3D TVs at the Sony house in the US, and I can tell you it doesn't work that well. It was supposed to be a football game, and no, I didn't see the ball coming at me.
And I mean, there's got to be issues with moving your head around or if you lie down or something like that. I just don't care all that much about it.
So after all that 3D talk, we get to the core subject.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring on the Predators.
So we saw the movie actually like a week and a half ago.
Yep.
And we were in theater, so we don't have that many notes. I refrain from taking notes from a movie when I'm in a theater because I just want to experience the movie. So we'll go along with what we remember of the movie and a couple of notes that we borrowed from the internet. Nothing you can't find on yourself, so have fun if you want to add to what we have. So the movie starts with... Actually, I found that it was a great way to like shove yourself into the movie. Just have a guy who drops from the sky.
Yeah, they do make you jump into it actually pretty fast, and he's just falling forever. Actually, he's trying to scramble to get his chute open, but it's all epic and it takes so much time. But he finally manages to set it up just in time to make it alive, I guess.
Yeah, and there's the first sequence where, like, I think they were afraid not to have an action sequence at the start of the movie, so they just go all one after the other, shooting or battling each other for pretty much nothing. You could be the enemy, I could be the enemy, and we meet most of the cast at that point.
Yeah, basically that's how they introduce everyone. Everyone's just, you know, running around on this planet, and they don't know what's going on, so... they don't really trust any of each other, but you know, once they form this great big group of most of the cast, they get this challenge actually, which brings them together. It's they get attacked by those predator dogs, I think.
Oh, that's still good way into the movie.
I'm moving too far along.
You're moving too far. I want to go back because there's so...
Let's
go back because there's so many weird things just before. So we meet the cast, and they try to go the Predator one way by typecasting everybody. So we got the perfect merc, which is pretty much Adrian Brody. We got the Chinese guy who looks like a Yakuza of some kind.
That would be Japanese if he's Yakuza, I think.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry, my
he'll get your fingers cut off.
Yeah, there you go. My Asian culture is keeping up. It's not that good yet. We have another Russian mercenary.
Yep. He's got the Gatling gun, actually.
Yeah, they went back to the good old Gatling.
Old painless.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because the Gatling gun, the bullet, he has like a pack sack, but just with black... letter over.
It's a huge backpack, and I think those things are actually real. I mean, if any of you guys played Resident Evil 5, they actually get about the same Gatling gun. It's a Gatling gun with a huge backpack, and some of the enemies get them, and you can actually get him on your guy at one point. But yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, but I mean, I'm glad they put it in. It was a nice point in the first one, and it's cool to see it again.
Yeah, they tried to take back a lot from the first one.
Yeah, they really wanted to have the feel of the first one.
Oh yeah,
you can see it all through the movie. You can feel it. They brought along some of the musical cues from the first one, which are very reminiscent. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, the music is actually not by Alan Silvestri, but they kept the theme, and they adapt all the rest to sound like it was done yesterday. Yeah. It was done like 2 years after the other movie. And little tangent there. The special effect looks like it's been done 2 years after the other movie.
I don't know. I think it looked pretty good. It didn't look as flashy as most movie looks these days, but it did what it was supposed to do nicely, I'd say.
And this time, no CGI Predator. That you haven't seen EVP, but they went CGI a lot of way. It was a real good thing they went back to the suits.
Guys in the suit, yeah, you can't beat that.
Oh, no, you can't beat that yet. Maybe one
day. Just for texture, I mean, you know, when you look at the CGI guy, the texture is always wrong. And I don't know how they do it with rubber or whatever, but they make it look more realistic.
Yeah, no, but it's there. Someone could make the Gollum argument, but have you watched that movie on an HDTV?
I haven't, actually, but as good as he looked, there were shots where you could plainly see, you know, some shiny surfaces on him and stuff like that. I mean, the job they did was incredible. I'm just saying that, you know, as human beings, we're used to see, you know, the real stuff all the time and textures that are, you know, real. So we're just, when we see something that, you know, isn't like that, it sticks out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, just in the same idea, just for, anyway, I came back from Comic-Con. I was like, I needed my Arrow fix. I just put, like, some scenes from the last Superman movie. And the special effects didn't hold up. And it's been, like, 4 years or something like that. It's not that the movie is that great. Not at all, but all the backgrounds, I was like, those are not real clouds. This is not a real city. That can't be.
I want my real clouds, mommy.
Yeah.
I don't know why you went back to see that movie. I really hated it.
I love the action sequence at the start, the old catching the plane, but that's pretty much it. It's really bring me back to the old movie, which I like a lot. There's something special for me, the old Superman. But I can understand if you don't have that connection to those old movies. That movie does.
Yeah, I haven't really seen the old Superman movies. I just saw the new one, Superman Returns, or something like that. Yeah. And it was bad. It was just bad.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So let's go back to Predators. Sorry for the tangent.
Predators.
So in the cast, we have also Isabel, which is another mercenary, which
she's an Israeli mercenary, a sniper, I think.
Tell me she's supposed to be in the U.S. Army, though, because if she's supposed to be an actually Israeli person, I don't buy it.
I'm pretty sure if you look it up online, they'll say she's from Israel, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And and we have Danny Trejo, who's playing
a Mexican bandito.
Mexican bandito called Chuchilo.
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 Cuchilo?
Chuchilo.
Cuchilo? Cuchilo.
Cuchilo.
You can have it either way.
Oh, yeah. And have it any way you want. And a couple of more cat and fodder, which are still. I would say pretty. Not, I don't want to say typecast, but they're archetype. They're archetype of many different.
They don't break the box. I mean,
yeah, they don't break the box that much. So that brings me to, as a predator, do you really want to eat all that different food? And I'm figurative there, but
they're not eating them.
No, I see.
They're
but
just hunting them.
But my point is, like, wouldn't it be like more easy to get like, I don't know. I'm going to go Stargate reference, but you go get SG-1. You get a whole team of people that are so good at what they do, and you hunt them instead of handpicking people from a little bit everywhere that are supposed to be super badass. But as soon as Adrian Brody is like, you know what? Go half yourself. I'm going there. If you don't follow me, I don't care. And they just follow in line like little pigs, one after the other. And
they're scared, but I guess what I could say is that we don't understand the psyche of the predators. Beyond that, I mean, is it that easy to fight teams? I don't know, to find them. I mean, it might be pretty hard. They did it with Arnold in his team, the first one. I don't know, man. That point didn't really stick to me. I mean, it's just a bunch of random people. probably the predators just pick them up like they pick up any other beast that they hunt. You know, they didn't really think all that much about them.
Yeah, but they try to make us think that those are the best of the best of the best. Like, some damn fool called you the best. That's why you're here.
Yeah, well,
my point is, I didn't, after the first encounter and when you see them just follow Brody, I had a little problem. Okay, I had 2 weeks to think about the movie, so maybe I overanalyzed it. But I was like, if I'm that badass, I'm probably going to go up by my own way, the same way Brody was like, oh, I can survive alone. I don't need any of you.
Well, I'll take you to the point where I said they meet the predator dogs, which I think is, you know, what basically united them.
Yeah, that's the next action sequence.
Yeah, at that point, basically, they realize that on their own, they're pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, those dogs, there's a few of them, and it takes about, you know, 100 bullets to take them down. And basically, none of them can take them alone. And the dogs retreat after a whistle, so they know that something bigger and badder is out there. So that at that point, I mean, you can understand why they stick around with each other, even though some of them most likely don't like each other.
There you go. So you have the same kind of realization with Adrian Brody once again that Arnold had. So after the first encounter with those dogs, he's like, oh, they're hunting us. They look at us to see how we're going to work together. Why? That's what I would have done.
Yeah, they're analyzing it in a military way. The same stuff as Arnold do, but with about 60 pounds less of muscle.
Yeah, here you go. Let's be frank. Brody's fine actor, but I don't think he should have been the lead of that movie. He could have been a good secondary character, but give me my muscle guy.
Well, I mean, if you're really realistic about it, you know, SWAT guys and all that stuff, they probably don't look like Arnold.
Yeah, but I want Arnold.
Yeah, he's old now. I doubt we'll see him in an action movie the same way as we're seeing Stallone still kicking it. I think basically with Brody in there, you know, we took it down to a more real level. I mean, you know, in the 80s, it was always over the top, but this is more, you know, realistic and it's more down to earth. And I think the old movie is, you know, based around that.
Yeah, but
even though they got those weird and big guns and plastic looking guns and futuristic stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the Brody's gun is just huge in that one and seems to.
How about the sniper, though?
Oh, man. Yeah, the sniper is pretty huge as well. And I know we discussed that when we got out of the movie, but try to snipe something in a forest.
Yeah, well, that was one of my comments, and I might be wrong on that one, but it just seemed weird to me, you know, to be in the forest trying to snipe, basically, I guess, a predator that has this great camouflage and, you know, is running around. I guess I shouldn't, you know, diss too much the snipers. I'll probably get headshot or something.
Yeah. If you're a sniper, before going after us, send an email at legends.podcasts@hotmail.com.
Yeah, we're very sniper friendly. You know, those guys will believe us and, you know, you'll have an easier job.
I go in Texas once a year, so I don't want to have any problem.
I guess they'd use bigger guns in Texas. They probably use like
the rail gun, the chain gun, just for a garage protection or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, boss! See, there's a mosquito. Bring out the shotgun.
There you go.
And that's my lame Texas accent, which isn't an accent.
Yeah, you know. Hey, boys! I don't have a good Texas accent as well.
So, predators, and now they have a reason to be together, and they know they're hunted.
Here you go. And one last thing on those dogs I found funny. They have, like, those huge, I would say, face horn or any way that, like, prevent them from eating anything.
Yeah.
So
they look badass, and, I mean,
oh, yeah, the design is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And, I mean, you know, if a dog can have sex, I'm guessing those things can too, but they basically cannot eat.
No, because I think it's Topher Grace that got jumped by one of them. He's just taking it out of him.
It was actually the prisoner, the guy that was in prison in the yellow suit.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's one of the...
He's got this knife and he's stabbing it and stuff until someone comes and shoot it.
Oh yeah, he's the guy who says everybody has a gun but me. What's that, bro?
Exactly. Yeah, that's that guy.
But they still show you that even without a gun, later in the movie, he's still dangerous. So they're trying to show you.
Yeah, of course.
So you have that first encounter, and like you said, they're binding together. The male bond is coming with them since there's only one woman.
Yeah.
And they find Danny Trejo in the middle of that little clearing.
Yeah, because basically when they got attacked by the dogs, they split and... they find Danny Trejo and he's on his knees and he's turning his back to them and you can just hear him whisper "Help me!" from time to time, and I think the Alice goes to try and help him and Brody just stops her and is like, "No, it's a trap!
It's a trap! It's a trap!"
Sorry, it is a trap.
Every time I hear that, I see Star Wars, but I see a fish in Star Wars actually. Yeah.
Wonder if it stinks.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's a fish, man. So, it was a trap.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if they intentionally tried to make a reference to Aliens with the old, "Kill me."
Yeah, yeah.
But
He says, "Help me." He doesn't say, "Kill me."
Yeah, that's the I would say, where they go to the opposite. Because, let's be frank, the title's Predators.
Yeah.
It's a follow-up to Aliens.
Yeah.
I would think. They're still trying to keep... I think they're still trying to keep that idea in mind, the Alien Predator thing. Even
didn't we see an alien skull at one point in the movie? I'm guessing it might be there or it might not.
I wasn't sure either. Me too. At some point, I was like, is that it or is that not it?
But this is your assignment for the week. See Predators, spot the alien skull.
Yeah, and if you spot it and you see it, just tweet us an answer somewhere at Legends Podcast. We'll be able to
correct it.
Do it. So they go their way. They just let him go because
They kill him. Actually, I think the girl kills him. Yeah, she. Yeah.
But they kill him. That's not true. She shoots him like 2-3 times, and they go their way. And
I think just once, but
he was already dead.
Yeah.
And it was a recording.
Something
like that. So they walk a bit for this cage. They find cages with like something else in them. Some seems to be human. And there's this all like introduction to another plot point.
There are cockroaches and stuff popping out. And yeah, there's this other alien thing there.
Yeah, this cockroaches alien that we're going to see one time. Another time, but not. We're not even gonna see. We're gonna assume it's there another time, but there's no other reference at all.
I think we see it at one point. It's like big and gray, I remember, but I'm not quite sure. Anyways, moving on.
Exactly. They make their way. They continue to evolve in that forest, and it's funny that every time that there's a cut, where do you change? Actually, you change scene. They're in totally different forest. I don't know how many different climate there is under that planet at like every 10 minute of a walk, but it changed a lot.
Yeah, the scenery does change a lot.
So they evolve a bit. They go to a predator camp.
Yep, there's a predator camp there, and there's like these weird arch columns, and there's a predator stuck on there, actually.
Yeah, a good old predator that...
Classic,
exactly. I found it looks like a lot that the one we see in Arnold movie.
Yep.
You remembered me that he was dead. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's...
The actor?
No, not the actor.
Oh,
predator.
Yeah, the first Predator, yeah. He's blown up to chunks.
Yeah, he goes. I was like, oh, maybe it's the same. No, no, not at all. And they introduced this other cast of Predator. So they used that one to get the people there. And they attack them.
He's still bait, yeah. They're using the weaker Predator as bait. And I think there's a fight at that point.
Yeah, Brody finds everything and then disappear. But you don't see him disappear. You just see other characters. And at some point, they're like, oh, where the hell he is? And Brody used the same tactic as the Predator. Use his team, anyway, the people he's with, as bait. And we're like, oh, you did that. Yeah, but now we know like this and that. And I don't remember the list, but it's an alien. It's bigger than us. It can turn invisible. And it just do the list.
Yeah, he's basically, oh, no, I was doing my stealthy job of, leader and stuff.
Yeah, because at this point he is officially the leader, nothing else.
Well, there's this tension where it's like, you know, you can do whatever you want, but I'm going that way, and everyone just follows him.
There you go. That's what I said. All those badass have no backbones at all. But so,
well, would you go alone on that planet? I mean, even if you were a badass.
No.
I mean, say you were the guy with the knives.
I would be the first one to get killed anyway in that movie.
But you're a badass.
Yeah, I'm a badass. But I would be like Topher Grace kind of badass.
Well, don't want to spoil too much, but he pretty much makes it to the end of the movie, so that's good.
Yeah, but, he makes it to the end of the movie because he doesn't look threatening. He's freaking...
You'd be good at that.
Oh, yeah. I'll be really, really good at that. No, that's absolutely sure. So,
no offense.
No. Do you think I take offense? When I every time I move, I cannot even lift my own boxes. So not that much, but almost. So.
Yep.
There's this little fight. I think we may lose another second character.
Oh, yeah. People die all the time and...
We
just don't really care about them.
No, because you lose people we don't really remember who they were, who they are. And you have, after 10 minutes, you know who's going to be the core group.
Yeah, you know the girl staying till the end.
You know the girl stays until the end. The only surprise is you think Danny Trejo would survive, but he's doing machete, yeah, so they need to kill him fast.
he's gone fast, but I guess it makes sense that he'd be gone fast, you know, considering everything in there.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely, considering the kind of character that made him into as well. So, I don't remember who dies. Anyway, they go their way and they're like, okay, we need to make a plan. We need to, like, find them. And they're like, okay, we're going to use Topher Grace as bait. And that, I think that's my favorite shot of the movie. This is bad to say, but they're like, yeah, we're going to use you at bait. They cut, and the first thing you see, it's him running in the forest like, guys, shoot him, shoot him. And the sniper shoots.
Yeah, but it's not a predator, I think.
No, exactly. That's the big reveal of the other cockroach alien. That's the only other time we see slash don't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So... they go with that a bit, and she's like, oh, I did not kill him. And you see that other, I'm making finger quotes, predators.
Yeah, you see a predator mask coming out of the jungle.
And there's a big reveal that it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, no.
Playing, have you seen Apocalypse Now in the last couple of years?
Not in the last couple of years.
Anyway, I found it funny that they gave him the Brando role this time, which is... the first movie of Fishburne is Apocalypse Now. This is how he started his career. And they're going to defend that guy who survived a couple of seasons. What's a season? We have no idea. Could be as much as like 10 days or 6 months.
Well, considering that the planet has two suns, you could guess that the season would be pretty quick.
Yeah, but is it the hunting season? Because... spoiler to the end of the movie, they already start another hunt at the end. Or is it a real season, like leaf falling from the tree?
But, you know, we've talked about this before this podcast. And as I said, I think they just, you know, deliberately made it, you know, vague. So you could guess what you want. And it makes sense as well, because since it's got two suns and stuff like that, I'm guessing they didn't bring a watch or something. They just can't follow... you know, how time passes. And I mean, the day would be different than 24 hours for sure.
Yeah, probably. You're another planet with two suns. That's not the 24 hours. They probably not a 24-hour revolution around those suns.
No.
But that's another thing. How does your planet live with two suns? Around which sun do you revolve?
It's a pretty cool, you know, concept to have two suns. But I don't see how, you know, and I'm no astrophysicist or something like that. I just don't see it working that easily. I mean, it's not as worse as stuff in Star Wars. I think they got three or four suns, but even just two of them, I mean, wouldn't they like eat each other or something like that with gravity?
I think
that wouldn't be good.
You know what? If Stephen Hawking is listening to this, it's legends.podcast@mail.com.
Yeah. Stephen, we need an answer, man.
Help
we
us.
We love you.
Please.
Bring us the knowledge.
Bring us the knowledge. Even if you don't bring us the alien, bring us the knowledge.
Well, actually, he's been saying that we need to be careful with aliens. They might be meaner than we think.
Yeah, but you know, they find microorganisms on Mars. So
yeah.
Let's be careful there. We're going to catch a Mars flu.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to Mars anytime soon, so it should be good.
It should be okay. So they decide to follow Lawrence Fishburne, who for the first 3 minutes looks sane. They bring
For all the time that, you know, they're going with him to his ship, and for a little while in his ship, you basically think this guy, you know, he's got it. You know, he's been living here and he's badass and, you know, he's got it down. But at what point in the ship when everybody, you know, has their guard down, he does something really stupid. He starts a fire.
Yeah. Just before that, they show you that he starts to talk to himself. And that's where I got the old Brando thing where he's always in the dark. He's like talking to him, talking to someone else in his head or their personality. And I don't know if he decide or if his friends decide to smoke him out.
He just light this pathetic little fire. I really didn't get that at all. I mean, why did you do that? Why don't you, know, try to kill them in their sleep or lock them somewhere?
You just give them food. Put poison in the food.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff that could do. And you have a tougher Grace basically, you know, saying that stuff is poisonous everywhere in the movie.
Go.
So you should be able to do that. And he just starts this stupid little fire, which basically makes everyone wake up and, you know, get out of there. And they chase him and he gets killed by a predator, I think. Because Brody just rockets a wall and it explodes, and the predators, you know, they come in to kill everyone.
So you have this little like run around into that crash ship. Topher Grace is alone for a moment. The guy with the Gatling gun kills trying to get him back, and
yeah, he saves him. Yeah,
yeah, but Topher Grace doesn't give a shit at that. This is the big, I would say, cue for the end of the movie to show you that he's not exactly what he's appeared to be.
Yeah, because he's just this doctor guy, supposedly, and why was he picked to go on the Predator planet? We don't know.
Yeah, that's like the big mystery in the movie, and for a long time, they're trying to make it past the idea that he's the guy that everybody's supposed to get attached and get killed trying to protect, but I never bought that.
No, there. It was evident from the start that something was going on there. But again, as I said, I didn't really care about any of the characters. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing about the movie. They're just expendable.
Nice. Let's see the expendable in the month.
Stay tuned for our next podcast.
Oh, that's gonna be just great. They had a big panel at Comic-Con for the expendable. They really want that movie to work. It's unbelievable.
They're already talking about sequels, so yeah.
Yeah, Stallone wrote like 3 plots at the same time in case, and they even say that this the third one should feature Arnold a little bit more, because he actually made the calculation on when Arnold's not going to be in office anymore.
Yeah.
So,
and he's gonna take that money, you know.
Arnold, of course. Come on. But
as long as he keeps his shirt on, we should be good.
Yeah. It's not like in the old days, take your shirt off.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a Casino Royale
thing. No, that
Royale
doesn't
thing.
Work for him anymore.
No, that doesn't work.
He should do, you know, the arm thing in the first Predator that he did with Apollo Creed, but he should do it with Stallone.
With Stallone.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah.
He should have that in the movie.
No, you're absolutely right. So if Stallone listened to this cast.
Yeah, Mr. Stallone, if you do that shot, I mean, it's okay. We won't ask for royalty. Just do it.
Yeah,
we
go slide. See it. We're gonna see it anyway.
You'll get our money.
You'll get our money. You might even get our weekend money, which is even better for those people. They want you know, they want those Friday, Saturday buck, so they can say, "Yeah, we grossed that much in the first weekend. Let's go."
Meh.
Here we go. So they battle through that maze in the ship. They get out, and we got the prisoner who has a knife, who got his last 10 and only moment of glory. Because just before that, he's just saying bad quote. I can't wait to get out of here, rape a woman.
And no.
Yeah, and Topher Grace like, yeah, I'm not into raping women that much. So
yeah, he kills. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that yet. So basically, the prisoner guy gets ambushed by a predator, and he's been wearing this armor that he found in the ship. So when he gets blasted, he survives, and he's able to dish out some sweet justice with his knife on the predator.
Oh, yeah, and good justice, too.
Sweet justice.
Sweet justice. So a little thing that changed a lot. I don't know if you remember the plasma gun that we call.
Yeah.
Used to put holes in people.
The shoulder-mounted laser cannon.
Here you go.
Thingamajiggy.
Now it's not as powerful as it used to be.
No, whereas before it basically shot a small laser explosion. I mean, now, you know, I think Brody gets hit by it and he barely flinches.
There you go. It's now a stormtrooper shot. Just fire around and hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does hit people. It's just that it doesn't seem to do as much damage as it did. And what's worse with this is that we're basically with the Uber Predator, the biggest, baddest predator, and their guns are weaker than they used to be.
There you go.
Anyways, that's how it feels in the movie, and we had that discussion. I mean, it felt a bit weird.
It felt a bit weird, but yeah, those predators, they were introduced by Lawrence Fishburne before he died, where he explained that there's two cast, and basically there's a classic predator, which is like yellowish, and there's like the Uber Predator, who's like blacks.
Yeah, they're more dark. And
so I don't know if there's a racism. Oh, that's a pole moving.
That's what she said. I guess she felt it.
Nice blade, sir. Nice blade. So, yeah, so I don't know if the Predator are racist or anything or why there's this caste problem, but
man, it's this all social commentary, man. It's like, you know, there's like this upper class of predators and they're like picking on the lower classes, and it's like such a commentary, man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel it that much, actually. I just didn't really care about it.
The only thing I found was made for is that to have the shot of the classic Predator like hanging in the start of the movie, and you know how you always have to rise the stake in the sequel. You know, if Batman battles the Joker in the first one, he has to battle Penguin and Catwoman in the second one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have to rise the stake. The same thing with Iron Man. You have the dude in the first one, and in the second one, you take the dude, you cut it in two, and you got Sam Rockwell and that other whip guy.
Actually, you know, taking it back to Predators, I really didn't care all that much about the new Predators. I think they could have went back to... They didn't need to create new classes of Predator or anything like that. I mean, they could have just gone with the classic design and say that there was just this bunch that were, you know, bigger or whatever. I mean, you can make them any way you want. I don't know. It just was weird a bit, you know, to have that.
The only good thing that comes out of that is that it kills the two EVPs. Because in the EVPs, they show you like a shaman predator, or like, anyway, those different classes of Predator, and with that idea it just shut those two movies out.
I haven't seen those AVPs, so that's why I'm a bit clueless about them, but
once again, you're not missing that
we've been running about that for a while now, but I might see them one day. Who knows?
If you really want us to see them, once again, it's Legends but podcast.com.
Make me do it.
Here you go. Make us do it. If we have enough emails, we'll start by doing what we really have fun doing first. Anyway, so we go back to that fight. The prisoner guy makes...
I think he kills one, yeah.
He kills one and...
Badly wounded.
They go and finally go their own way, and one of the predator is like pissed and scream at the screen at one of those money shots that he used in the other movies as well.
Well,
he got his head ripped off.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I was just about to say, though, that they're, the group is actually moving back towards the first camp where they're they meet that that classic predator, because Lawrence Fishburne's character basically said that there was a starship near there, and there's this great plan that's hatching in Adrian Brody's head at that point. So they're trekking their way there.
All right, Adrian Brody's like, I'm going back to my planet, and you know, in life you have problems from time to time. You know, I'm gonna fix that. But even if you find an alien ship, you figure out how to drive it. I would say, I give you that you're able to get it out of the atmosphere.
And that's something already, I mean.
Yeah, that's already something. And I'm passing on that. There's no a big sign in the middle of space saying, Earth that way. Earth 364 light years.
They went to Earth before. It's got to be, you know, in the databanks of the computer and the ship. So he's just got to read it and, you know, see where Earth is and, you know, just press the button and everything will do magically.
That's assuming a lot.
But anyways, we won't get to that point.
Yeah. So they have that plan. They go back to that predator. I think we lose another one or two other people. At that point, we only have the core group.
There's Adrian Brody. There's the girl.
Isabel.
There is the Tougher Grace guy, and that's pretty much it.
And I don't want to pick on Tougher Grace, but his character is named Edwin.
So?
Edwin, isn't that a hall in Harry Potter?
No idea.
Anyway.
No information from me on Harry Potter. No interest for me on that. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. But anyway, that made me laugh a bit. So, yeah, those are the core group, and they go back to that camp. They try to make friends with the original predator.
Brody basically talks to the classic predator, and he's like, yeah, we're on the same team. We want to kill those badass predators. And he set it free, and I guess the predator understood, because
he started to battle the uber predator.
Yeah.
Which, this is the part where, okay, we've already, like as we said before, we've already seen AVP. Now do we have to have, like, P versus P? Predator versus Predator?
P versus Beam.
Yeah. Okay. Not that good tonight with those.
PvP.
PvP.
Actually, that's a gaming term, but Predator versus Predator. Nah, well, I guess they did it because there's these two kinds of Predator at that point, but it could have been interesting to see it. It was a cool fight, I thought.
Oh, no, it was a cool fight. Well acted. Two guys in huge rubber suits.
Lots of green glowing ooze.
Oh, lots of green glowing ooze. And one other thing I have to say about that movie that I like is
I just want to go on a short note here, yep, and say that they did the blood from the Predator as they did in the 80s movies, which was with glow sticks and KY gel. And actually, that was a problem because the stuff would dry pretty quickly.
No.
So I just... That's something I read, and I found that interesting.
Oh, that's funny. You know,
That sounds cool, man.
That sounds cool, man. I saw that in a movie, like one of those teen movie where they have like KY fight. So just put slapstick in there and let people fight in that. That would be funny.
I never had KY fights. I'm probably missing out.
I've seen that in a movie. I haven't seen it in the theater. But what's that movie? I think it was Old School or something like that.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Bad movie with Will Ferrell. But actually not that bad, but not that great either. Anyway.
Good enough for Will Ferrell.
Good enough for Will Ferrell. There you go. So
we love you, Will.
Yeah, we love you, Will. Please live.
Play some cowbell.
What?
Play some cowbell.
Cowbell.
He's got this kit, I think, on Saturday Night Live where he's playing some cowbell. And that's
Are
like,
you serious?
Yeah.
Nice. I have to check that out.
Not really.
Not everything's good to check out. Anyway.
I know a lot of weird random stuff that's useless. So.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yep.
Yep.
So there's this big great fight with the Predators, and Brody gets to the ship, but the classic Predator loses, and the big bad...
That's funny. You have the big bad Predator, looks at the ship, looks at his armor, and you're like... Okay, is he going to blow himself up?
I've got a remote control for that ship.
Here you go, and blow the ship. it's like the best, I say, anti-theft system, but you lose your car.
Well, I mean, it's the Predators. I mean, they basically have a bomb on themselves to blow them up. So I wouldn't put it past them to have something to blow the ship as well.
You're right.
If you're going to blow yourself out, might as well blow the ship as well. During that time, actually... He doesn't get
into the ship, though.
No, no. Well, we're at that point, we're made to believe that he's on the ship and he's blown up. And the story focuses on Alice and Topher Grace.
Isabel.
At that point. Isabel. I've been calling her the real actress name all along.
Oh, sorry. Long.
No, it's okay.
We're calling all the real actors' name except for me that one. Yeah. I don't know why.
We're very confusing to our listeners. Anyways, Isabel and Topher Grace, which I don't know his character's name. Edwin. So Isabel and Edwin, they're basically with each other and they're a bit battle damaged at that point. So they're weary and everything. And... Edwin at that point basically reveals his true color.
Ta-da-da! Oh, but I'm not sure I saw that shot. Maybe I was looking somewhere else, but they're supposed to be in one of those predator trap in a pit.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't saw them fall in it, but maybe I was looking somewhere else while the movie was playing.
No, I remember seeing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, they get out of that and basically he just jabs her with this...
Scalpel,
yeah, and there's like this neurotoxin on it, and she basically freezes up, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm this serial killer after all, and I'm, you know, insane and stuff. And
we're sure that he's not gonna rape her, because he already said that rape is not his thing.
That's what you thought about?
The first thing I thought was like, what? Yeah, because he's like, you're gonna feel everything. Like, I was like, does he want to rape her? What?
I just don't see it. I mean, you're on a foreign planet. It's like predator hunting you, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna scar me some rape.
Yeah,
I just thought basically he was going to torture her, kid or something like that. I didn't went with rape at that point.
Probably, but let's go back in the idea.
Do it.
You're on a predator planet. People are going to kill right and left for the last 18 hours, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like three. You have those two people that made you survive until then because you're that creepy Hannibal Lecter serial killer that works in an hospital.
Yeah.
And you decide, yeah, I'm just going to like kill her right now because she's my lifeline.
Well, I mean, I think he kills her at that point because... Brody is gone, so he thinks he's got the way is clear to for him to kill her.
Yeah, but I don't know if he wants to make chummy with the predator by showing that he's a badass as well. But
yeah, he uses that line after a while because the predator starts to hunt him. He's like, "No, you see, like I'm a badass like you and stuff," but doesn't gel with the predator.
There you go. But as soon as he tries to start doing his stuff, Brody comes back.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, you, with that great Topher Grace acting. Yeah, oh, you're there. Oh, I'm so sorry.
He's basically saying that the predator poisoned the girl and stuff like that. And it's hard to take it at that point. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. Anyway, Brody buys it and takes him out of there. And oh, and way before he wanted to let Topher Grace die is because he put his feet in a like bear trap or something like that. And after like 10 minutes of the movie, that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
But whatever. So they go back to the Predator camp, and there Brody has a plan.
Well, they actually don't really leave the Predator camp at any time, I think.
But they're around.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've got the Brody's plan.
Which is the fire plan.
Yeah. Well, I guess he knew at that point that the Predator were seeing with infrared, so he thought fire is pretty good. And they had heard as well about Dutch in Predator, which used mud to hide himself. So he's thinking, I'll take the mud, I'll hide him some fire, and that'll be pretty cool.
Yep. So it... goes disappear from the screen for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, he has to take time to take his shirt off.
Sure, yeah, takes his shirt. Kirk style. And anyway, he takes his shirt off, and I don't remember what sells Topher Grace at that point that he's a douchebag, but something tipped them off, and they go with the original plan of using him as bait again.
Well, actually, I think Isabel probably got her voice back and just told him or something like that. So I think he knocks him out and
put a bunch of grenades.
Yeah, he puts grenades on him. He's like, "Yeah, we're gonna use you as bait, you sick motherfucker."
So the predator that already used that trick as the start of the movie is that falls stupid. For it.
Yeah,
yeah. And turn Topher Grace, and there's like 8 grenades on him.
Yep.
Explodes, and that's it for our guys from That 70 Show. Oh, I totally phoned in that Dennis Quaid movie. That's Ocean 12 quotes.
Maybe.
Anyway, so they go. The predator explodes a bit, but you know it's predator, so it doesn't explode that much. And yeah, I know that bench makes a lot of noise. Not that comfortable as well. That was your, I think your rock band bench. It's, you should have put a little bit more cushion on.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a rock band drum stool, and it's a test on my buns.
No shit. So,
I still feel it, and I'm standing up.
That's what she said.
Where okay. did you put it?
Oh, we're on fire tonight. So, where was I? They completely threw me off. You can take a seat on the couch, man.
Yeah, I'll sit down. They just killed the predator, actually, at that point, and we're basically ending the movie.
But no, they don't, wait. They don't kill. They just explode a bit, and then there's
explode a bit.
Yeah, he explodes a bit, but and then you
partially have exploded predator.
Here you go. That's funny. And then you get the fire flash, Adrian Brody superhero thing, which
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know where he found gas, but he put like this inflammable thing around the camp. And light it up while the predator explode, or maybe the explosion that lights it up.
I can't believe I forgot about that. This is epic.
Oh yeah,
take it away.
So fire everywhere. The predator is on one side, and he doesn't see anything anymore because he sees with heat recognition.
Infrared.
So he doesn't see, and Brody just passes the screen and give him shot on the mask, like here and shot. Hey, another shot. Oh, another shot.
And it's all cut in, you know, quick sequences. And you just see him, you know, in flashes, he just appears and he's like, whack, whack, whack. And it's a different shot every time.
Oh, yeah. And at this point, he's shirt off, covered in mud, trying to emulate Arnold with not really, even if it's not really working, and giving those shots one after the others. Anyway... He continued to hit him in the face, which really bugged me. The guy has that big wound on the chest.
He's got this huge mask, you know. This is a big badass mask, but the rest of his body is all, you know, unprotected. And Brody's just wailing on that mask, doing basically just, you know, stunning the guy.
There you go. And they already, like, killed two of them. And we know from the Lawrence Fishburne character that they can keep the mask and become invisible. But it doesn't seem that they understood that.
I don't know, man. They know that they could kill it and that it bleeds and all that stuff. I don't know why he went for the red. I guess it was more dramatic or something.
Oh, probably. But they didn't go for that line, and that was bad. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
I actually prefer another one. It's like they were talking, and he's like, "Oh man, you're bleeding." I don't got time to bleed. Yeah. That was one of the best ones, I thought.
Oh yeah. Oh.
But that's the first one, and I don't remember any very interesting one-liners in this one.
I
wouldn't say there's none. I mean, my memory might be, you know, faulting me right now. I'd say there might be some, we just don't remember them. It's been a while.
So they're not that good, because
again, another assignment, folks. Do it. Find the one-liners.
It's legend.podcast@hotmail.com. So, yeah, maybe one or two. But the thing about the rapist at the start was maybe the only one I remember. Like, I want to rape a woman on Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was yeah, not that funny. But anyway, so he punched a predator for a couple of minutes, and in the
doesn't he have like an axe or something at that point?
Yeah, and in the end, he axes his head off, and we saw like 10 minutes before some guy. Some other predator get killed with the head cutting off, or maybe a
that
character.
Was a classic predator that got its head cut off
by the other predator.
Yeah.
And then you have the human cutting the head of the uber predator. I was like, man, they're so you're making a movie. There's so many other ways to show me this. You already showed me that once. Show me something else. But
so how would you kill the predator then? How would you do it?
I don't know. Like, cut his arm, cut his leg. They already cut one and two. Open his throat. remove his teeth. I don't know. Find something. I don't write script, but I could. But
yeah,
that's their job to think about that stuff. I mean,
you're saying they didn't do their job because they didn't find another general way to kill the predator.
No, but they could do a better job. That's my point.
I agree that the all, you know, hitting the head repeatedly was a bit lame. I mean,
no problem with cutting the head.
It's always good.
Yeah, it's always good.
I mean, what movie couldn't use a good, you know, beheading?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that pretty much ends the movie with them looking in the sky, seeing other prey.
Yeah,
falling.
There's stuff that's parachuting down.
And Brody's. Say his name for the first time of the movie.
My name is Royce.
And because he makes a point of not saying his name.
Yeah, I guess at that point he starts to trust the girl.
Yeah, but
or maybe he just wants to get laid. So he's like, yeah, I'll tell her name. Maybe she know.
Yeah, well, yeah, at that point you kill all the predator. Getting laid is something that goes up in the
he's
priorities.
He's thinking, yeah, maybe I got 20 minutes to burn.
I need to burn some calories. But... And he's like, I'm getting off that goddamn planet, and credit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from now on, it's pretty clear that they want to do a sequel and all, but when we went out of the movie, that... I mean, and I like the movie. I don't know if it showed, but I really did. I didn't think it was as great as the first one, but I really didn't like this whole vibe of... Oh, yeah, when you see the movie, you know that they'll be making a second one. That doesn't feel right to me. It's not like it's not a satisfying ending to a movie when you know that they'll just go back to it.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is, well, like we talked about a little bit before the podcast, it's like the Empire Strike Back influence, because in their idea, this is like the true sequels from Predator and the S and the alien thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's like their middle opus. So they want to finish on a cliffhanger. And anyway, we read, and this is, you can go check by yourself, the great Wikipedia guru, because when we saw that, I was like, okay, if it makes enough money, it probably will have a sequel. And the movie costs $40 million, which, like I said before, probably $30 million to make the movie, $10 million to Adrian Brody. And they grossed $95 million yet.
As of now, yeah.
As of now. So it's an official sequel when you usually double your money, which... makes the movie profitable.
And I guess that's okay. I mean, it's always good to see more Predators, I guess. Again, I'm just not sure that I want to keep with Royce and Isabel. I mean, there's more stuff to tell, and I guess they want to use that great planet that they created, but I don't know. I just... To me, as of now, you know, in the Predator universe, we didn't never really follow anyone else than the Predator, so I don't see why we need to follow Royce and Isabel at that point. I don't know how you feel about it, but...
I feel the same, but they have a great way to get out of that idea if they want, because, okay, we jump a couple of things in the movie, but when they start of the movie, they find a dead guy with a bunch of trap a la Arnold at the end of the first movie, with a wood trap and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, that guy probably did that before he died, blah, blah, blah. So it's not meant to be Arnold at all, but they're trying to link, I would say, the two movies.
Yeah, they did make that great effort to make it stick in the universe. And I mean, it works, but.
They could start another movie with these two guys dead. That's my point.
Yeah, they could go with different crew all together. And I think from, you know, what we've seen as of now, I think that's what I'd like to see, you know, someone else completely different.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
They might be running out of actors, you know, if they keep going that way, but...
You can't run out. Come on. When you're casting Duffer Grace as whatever.
But I don't know. It would feel weird for me to, you know, see Royce still in another movie. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
If you're really lucky, you're gonna get what was that name from the second movie? His name from the second movie, Danny Glover, the comeback.
Yeah,
they go get him.
Well, I don't know how, you know, the Predator honor works, but wouldn't they leave him alone now that he's proved that he is badass or something?
Yeah, but that was classic Predator. Those were not Uber Predator.
Oh, yeah, the Uber Predator would want to stake their claim as well, I guess.
So, anyway, I don't think Danny Glover is going to play in any sequel anyway, but, oh, that's still something I don't want to see.
But I guess we can go into something else I want to say right now. Basically, I preferred this movie to Predators 2. And basically, my favorite one is still the first one with Arnold.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And this one would be, Predators would be the second best, and Predator 2 would be the worst.
Yeah, since I saw the two other movies, I place Predator 2 a little bit like better than EVP 2.
But yeah, but we're talking straight Predators here.
Straight Predators, yeah, you're right. That the second one is just like a bunch of shit.
Some people like it. I mean, I know some people do, but to me...
Oh, it's someone's favorite movie.
To me, it wasn't that great. I mean, you guys probably heard our podcast on this, and so we won't delve on that. It's basically just to give you an idea on where the movie sits. And yeah, as I said, I liked the movie. It was good. Great entertainment. Some stuff that sticks out that didn't seem all that right. But overall, good experience.
So since we're down that route, let's rate this movie. So let's remember, everybody, how our ratings working. So we go on you should have seen that movie the first week it came out. You should go see that movie right now while it's still in theater and it's a little bit cheaper. You should wait for the DVD to come out, but buy it the first day. You should wait to buy it when it's at $5 in a bin somewhere, or don't even bother. Where do you stand on that scale?
I'd go with the DVD, actually. I don't think the movie benefits all that much from being seen in the movie theater. If you want to, you know, avoid the spoilers, which I get, you shouldn't listen to us if you want to avoid spoilers. If you want to avoid spoilers, go see it now. But if not, I mean, this will make a great movie to see, you know, at home.
Yeah, well, like you said, if they wanted to avoid spoiler, we have that warning at the start of the show.
Yeah. But yeah, see it on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever at home. It'll be a great... hour of 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I would go a bit farther. I would say Dollar Theater is good. I like some of the shot in the big screen, and that's going to sound weird, but the sound production was actually great. The voice and music was good.
I wouldn't, you know, want to discourage anyone from seeing it in the theater. I mean, I think it's worthwhile, but you just don't get all that much more from seeing it in the theater. I mean, if it's raining outside and it's cheap on the movie theater, go see it. It's a good movie. It's worthy enough. But bottom line, I don't think I would miss out if I saw it, you know, on DVD or Blu-ray.
No, not at all. Probably you would even add like a director's cut with like five. You know, Robert Rodriguez is good on that. Like, put it just 5 minutes, or giving you two cuts, or giving you 10-minute film school with the crap and everything. I know you're not the big special feature guy, but
no, just give me the movie, you know, good soundtrack, decent subtitles, you know, and I'm set.
Yeah, personally, he's one of the guy I like his DVDs, because you always have like, how do we did that? There's these commentary tracks that are really lengthy, and even goes to like do one or two where he has like a technical one and a script one. Always have this 10 minutes film school where it shows you how you can do movie for really cheap, like a couple of $100,000, and and is Anyway, that may be not on a Predator DVD, but he had at some point the 10-minute cooking school, which was kind of fun. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Mexico?
No, I'm not quite sure. I saw one of those. I saw the most popular one.
You saw Desperado then?
Maybe.
The one with Salma Hayek naked?
Yeah.
It's Desperado. So
yeah, that's the one I want to see.
Yeah, that's the one everybody wants to see. That's a weird series, and don't get me wrong, big Rodriguez fan there, but like the first movie is a movie made for like $6,000. The second movie is Desperado with Salma Hayek and Antonio Banderas, and the third movie had another character, which is like Johnny Depp, and has been like shot in 20 days trying new digital camera. So it's lots of what can we do with that shit. So the movie's okay, but doesn't get to the heights of Desperado. And while saying that, the movie is produced by Robert Rodriguez. His signature is all in the front of the movie with the big troublemaker marquee. But as we discussed a little bit before, it doesn't look like a Robert Rodriguez at all. It really looks like a Nemorad movie.
Yeah, but that's okay. I like the stuff that Rodriguez did, even though I didn't see, you know, the Desperado stuff. But I didn't think that would fit too well with the Predator universe. So that's okay, if you ask me.
Yeah, he still has a great way to shoot action, usually, which is something that I respect a lot, because not everybody's able to.
Yeah, but there's always this, I don't know how to say it other than, you know, quirkiness about these movies that I'm not sure would have worked in Predators.
No, you're right. But when he put himself really up to it, you see the first half of From Dusk Till Dawn.
I've seen this. So it's a long time ago.
Anyway, the first half is really serious, really dwelling into the character.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, he shot him as a Quentin Tarantino movie. That was the idea. And the second part was a Robert Rodriguez movie when they just go nuts with the killing zombies and vampire. You haven't seen that movie in a while?
I remember the penis gun.
Yeah. That was great. Oh, man, that could be a great podcast. Only the first one, because the straight-to-DVD sequels.
Yeah, the thing with that movie is that I remember that I really hated it back then. I don't know when it came out. It's probably like
96, 97.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 years ago. Anyways, not the same kind of my frame of mind that I have right now. So a lot of the most movies that I saw back then that I didn't like, I'm thinking maybe I'd have a different take on them right now. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do it sometime.
Yeah, that's a movie I like a lot. I have the actual DVDs in my hands, because this time we're at my place and I have my collection just right beside me, and I can't even find a date, so I'm going to stick with 97, 96.
Yeah, because we've got, you know, the internet right on hand, but he prefers to go for the movies, the DVDs he's got.
Oh, come on. You know I like my collection.
Just f***ing Google it.
Oh, yeah. And this is like a great edition where you have like a documentary of like 2.5 hour on how they did the movie. The movie is 147
minutes. Yeah.
Which is...
You just can't get enough.
I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough.
With my major baby.
Yeah.
No,
so. So yeah. Do we have a date there? Do we have a date? No, I don't.
You need to click on the movie.
I need to click on the movie. Oh damn. From the 96. Oh, was not that
right
far
on
off.
Right on the money.
Yeah, really not that far off. Not too
you
bad.
You said 96.
I said 96, exactly.
And it's 96.
And his next movie after that is The Faculty. Oh, that was not that great. And a bunch of Spy Kids. But anyway, I don't think you saw the Spy Kids either.
Nope.
You want to see them?
Nope.
Okay. I got the first one from cereal boxes, man. For real.
I mean, if at one time my niece want to see a movie or something, I guess maybe, but...
I'm not your niece.
I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, maybe not.
She's about 4 years old now, so...
Yeah, you're still having look for another 4 years before
there'll be other movies we'll want to see this.
You know, hey, you saw Alice in Wonderland.
I did in 3D, actually, and it was...
3D!
Well, I didn't really care all that much about the movie or the 3D in that movie, but the kid liked it, and that's what matters, you know.
That's one more movie than me that you've seen in 3D.
It was... Well, maybe you've seen other that I haven't seen.
No, I saw Avatar. That was it.
Didn't you see the...
Clash of the Titan? No,
I saw Beowulf.
Oh yeah, we saw Beowulf. Yeah, but that was
horrendous 3D.
Oh, that was horrendous. And the kind of 3D that after like 10 minutes, you're like, if I remove the glasses, the movie's going to be better.
I saw the Michael Jackson 3D thing at Disney World when I was a kid, actually, as well.
Oh, if you had the 3D Disney, yeah, I saw the bunch at Universal Studios and Disney last year, but that's bad 3D as well.
Anyways, Alice in Wonderland, the kid liked it. I mean, it's a pretty movie. It's not made for adults. It's made for kids. So I won't pass much more judgment on that movie right now.
I could have seen it for free in the plane going to Comic-Con, and I just decided to watch some Red Dwarf on my iPod to give you an idea.
Well, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's a classic story, and it stinks of Tim Burton style.
Yeah, but it's like a sequel of the classic story.
Yeah, well, somewhat, I guess. No, not really. It's not a sequel.
No, it's not a sequel.
Well, it's...
It's not like Return to Wonderland or something like that.
It is and it's not, because it's like the same Alice, but she doesn't remember, or it's like she never went there, but people in Wonderland think it's her. It's a bit weird, but it's not that it's bad. It's just very generic, and it's just, you know, you take Alice in Wonderland and you paste it with Tim Burton and you get that, and there's no, you know, really original stuff in there. It's just, you get what you expect and not much more.
Yeah, Tim Burton, you like or you don't. Personally, I found his style is start to getting redundant. It's always
he should try something new.
Yeah, he should try doing something not gothic.
Yeah.
But actually, no, that's not true. He did. He did Mars Attack.
Well, and there was like this Big Fish movie as well.
That's Tink of Tim Burton.
Yeah, but it wasn't gothic.
It wasn't gothic. You're right.
I mean, but, you know, he just seems so confined in what he does. And I mean, he does it well, but...
Oh, that I don't say he doesn't it well.
He just doesn't, you know, he's not drawing outside the lines.
Not at all.
He keeps it inside the lines at all time.
Oh, yeah. It's like he did Batman and Sleepy Hollow, and all the rest of his movie are some kind of redo of that kind of idea to put his style on a subject we already know.
So what's your favorite Burton movie?
Batman? Yeah, because most people would go, like, my favorite Batman would be Dark Knight.
I'm talking about Burton movie or
something. Yeah, but the Batman for me is, once again...
The first one.
Exactly. 89, I was 8 years old. The movie came out. It was dark. I was a bit afraid of the world. I was afraid of the Joker. The only thing that you could grasp as a kid was the yellow shield of Batman that was everywhere that summer. So, got great memory, and I love, what can I say? I just love that movie.
I didn't really get into the Batman movie actually until the third one, so
that didn't give a good
impression. So probably one of the, well, I wouldn't say favorite movie from Burton, but probably the most memorable is Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's probably the most memorable.
I think it's well, I mean, of course, there's Nightmare Before Christmas, but
that's not him.
No,
he only wrote the story and maybe wrote a couple of songs. But
and
that's
I would
not
say,
him.
You know, that movie is classic and it's cult and everything. But to me, it's all the singing. It just doesn't do it. You know, I just don't want to see it again. While I might be interested in, you know, seeing Beetlejuice another time, because I don't know, that was me was fun.
Beetlejuice was a fun ride. Nightmare Before Christmas, a movie you watch once every 2-3 years, maybe even more. But you need to like those kind of singing movie. This is a movie I'm going to put while I'm doing my dishes, because the songs are great. Let's face it, but I don't watch that much. But it's great. It's a great movie. It's not like the Corpse Bride he did a couple of years earlier, later, trying to grasp the same thing, and it did not work that well.
It didn't have the charm. It didn't have, you know... It just didn't reach, you know, that deep into common consciousness, you know, with Christmas and Halloween, you know, those themes that were so
classic.
Yeah, and the way he used them is so great. And while, you know, in the bride stuff, I mean, yeah, he goes with weddings and all that stuff, but I guess I just didn't care all that much about it.
Yeah, same thing for me. I didn't care that much about it.
You gotta make me care.
Yeah, but you got to make... that's, once again, maybe one of the problems we had with Predators. Go doing back the long way to go back there. It's like, even by giving you the main character name at the end of the movie, how do you want me to care about that guy? He's a douche with everybody all along in the movie, so why would I care if he survives or does not?
It's to go back with Predators, I mean, the Predators could have won, and I would have felt it would have been satisfying.
Yeah.
It would have been. I mean, they could totally have went that way, and it could have worked. Yeah. It could have worked great, I think.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So it's a directorial choice.
I mean,
The human needs to be like at the top of the food chain.
I guess, and you know, there's got to be, you know, somewhat of good ending, or I guess something. But you know, maybe the classic Predator could have come out on top or something like that. That could have been interesting.
Yeah.
But no, the guy and the girl, they survive and they walk off. Into the credits.
Even better there.
Yeah, well.
Well. So.
I think that pretty much wraps him up. We've been blabbing on about Tim Burton and whatever.
Yeah, but probably we're getting a little bit more used to that podcasting thing. That's why we're more at least to go right and left over there in other territory and try other...
So go see the movie in theater if you want, if you're a fan of Predators. If not, it'll be a worthwhile rent or buy on DVD when it gets cheap.
And there's gonna probably be like in 3 months. If I was them, I would release that just before Halloween.
Yeah, go see the first Predator, see the Predators, and you know
the rest you just
forget. You just, you know, it's there, but you don't need to delve into it.
So that would probably stop our Predators arc until they make another movie or that we receive enough email to watch the AVP. Please don't send that much email for AVP2. I can't believe I sit through that movie once. I'm sure I want to do it twice. But that's pretty much it. Any last word?
Trout.
Uber Trout versus Trout.
Trout on fire.
Trout on fire with mud.
Yeah, running around and eating Predators stuff. Anyways, have a great time, you guys. Keep listening to us. Make sure to check out Legend Action Shop, install that good stuff, and make sure to send us email, tweets, or whatever. We want your feedback, and we appreciate it, and take it away.
Yeah, so we're going to probably record with the Beast at some point another segment to the Predator toys, because let's face it, they make great Predator toys. There's like a lot. Remember to go visit our sponsor, which is LegendsActionFigure.com. They've been great with us. You can go to their website, find a bunch of stuff that you don't even know that exists. You will find that beautiful. At the same time, check Comic-Con stuff, give you an idea of what's coming up in the next year. They're probably going to be able to pre-order it from their website. Please go check the website. As we said before, this is the way to say thanks for this podcast. If you want to send us feedback, please do. We're still at only episode 6, so the more feedback we have, the best we can become to try this. So like I said a couple of times in that cast, it's legends.podcast@hotmail.com, legends with a S, .podcast@hotmail.com, and we have a Twitter feed, which is Legends Podcast. That's it. So you can add us, follow us, to have like news, and they will know what the next movie we're gonna review, because we're really taking this week to week. So I would really like right now to tell you, this is what we're gonna watch next week, but we don't have a
plan. Send us your suggestions, and I mean, you can, you know, tell us why you think it would be a good movie for us to watch. And my college year has seen a lot more stuff than I did, so you know, it might be interesting for me to see and comment on stuff that I haven't seen before. So send us your suggestions, and I mean, the worst thing that can happen is we don't see or comment that movie.
But I'll be frank, when all this is are going to be published and everything, I'm going to be so happy to receive email. The first person to send me an email with a suggestion, we're probably going to do it. I'll be totally frank there.
I'll reserve a veto vote on that, but Yeah. We'll just put a grain of salt.
Yeah, okay. If you ask us to watch something like really bad like Catwoman, that's not going to happen. Just make that clear. Because for bad or worse, like we said at the start of that show, but there's worse and there's abysmal. And abysmal is where I don't want
to
go.
You shouldn't need to, you know, hear us talk about now or not, you know, to know not to watch that movie.
Yeah. You know, those movies that are clear that we really don't need to see, keep it at home. If you maybe Catwoman is the favorite movie of someone out there, and I'm sorry for bashing on it right now, but a lot of people do.
It's just crap. Get over it.
So once again, it's been great. This has been episode 6 of Legends at Night Podcast. Your host, John D, and as usual, I'm with my co-host,
Frank.
Frank, and we hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Take care.
Engage.
This has been Legends in Action Movie Podcast. We are your host, Frank and John D. We remind you to visit LegendsActionFigures.com. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. See you next week for a new episode.
Legends in Action Movie Podcast is not affiliated with any other entity. The opinions stated in this podcast are strictly personal and do not represent the view of its sponsor or any other person or entity. No infringement is intended. Legends Podcast is a production of No Expert Productions.